Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Hi, this is Michael Edward Miller, host of Around and About Chattanooga. The song A Boy Named Sue is based on a Shel Silverstein poem. It was a big hit for Johnny Cash, but did you know there's a connection to a real person who lived close to here, who lived in Dayton, Tennessee? Coming up, we're going to talk about that and lots of other regional history and lore. We've got a conversation with local author Maury Nicely about his guidebook. It's called East Tennessee Walking Tour and Historic Guide. Stay tuned. A Roundabout starts right now. Hello, and welcome to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. In our first segment today, we've got an interview with a Chattanooga author who's written a guidebook for people doing walking tours of East Tennessee. Maury Nicely has written one of these guidebooks. His first one was exclusively about Chattanooga. Now his new one, his second one, covers the whole eastern part of the state. It's called East Tennessee Walking Tour and Historic Guide. Maury Nicely, welcome to A Roundabout Chattanooga.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Your book features more than 25 cities and towns in East Tennessee. Have you actually visited all these different towns and walked around them?
I've visited them all, walked around them all. I've visited them probably more than I cared to in some cases, and haven't been run off from any of them yet.
Well, that's good. So you've got all these different walking tours in your book and all these different places. In each town, you've got all this trivia, maybe 30 or 40 different locations within each one of these towns. You must have done a massive amount of research to put this book together. How did you do all this research?
Well, you know, it started with just, you know, getting into the history of the area, going and really getting on the ground. And to be completely honest, some of these places already had some different kind of guides they had maybe in the past that gave you some great getting on the ground, looking around. And then from there, it was just trying to find old photographs, trying to find more information about each place's history. And it was just condensing down East Tennessee history into these 25 little towns was a challenge, but a really fun challenge.
Where did you get all the photographs? You've got like, what, 1,000 photographs in the book?
Something like that. And you know, most of them came from local museums, local history organizations, and then some other places where we would find an individual who had a cachet of photographs for a certain area, like Rogersville, Tennessee, worked that way. And so it was just, you know, a little bit of digging and trying to find who had great, neat photographs of these historic sites.
You're a history buff. You're on the board of directors at the Chattanooga History Center. When you were writing this book and doing all this research, did you learn anything that you didn't know that was just really surprising to you?
Oh, tons of things that I didn't know. You know, I mean, I had become pretty well versed in Chattanooga. And, you know, you've visited some of the other areas. Like, we've all been to Knoxville and places like that. But then going up and, you know, stumbling upon Rugby, Tennessee was just amazing. This little ghost town, this Victorian 1880 era town that was developed as a utopia up on the Cumberland Plateau. And then ultimately just disappeared. And some of the buildings, these original buildings, still stand. And being up there on a foggy day in the fall was just this surreal experience of a place I had never seen before. And there were all these little, when you went to these towns, to see things that you know, just a little bit off the beaten path that you were just a total surprise. That was really interesting.
It's a walking tour guidebook. So the idea is people take the book, they go to one of these towns and walk around with the book. How long would it take somebody typically to do one of these tours?
Well, it sort of depends on the town. You know, when you go to a small town like a Rugby or a Copper Hill is in there, you know, you have a little bit of a smaller place. May take, you know, you could probably see a lot of the sites in 30 minutes to an hour just walking around, seeing a lot of the things. You get into a bigger city like a Bristol or a Johnson City or a Knoxville or a Chattanooga, you know, you could spend days.
Oh, yes.
But the tours are designed so it's not days of walking. It's, you know, it can be divided up and really see a lot of the neat highlights of the downtown areas.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Maury Nicely. His book is East Tennessee Walking Tour and Historic Guide. As we were saying, this is actually your second walking tour book. Your first one was exclusive to Chattanooga. What is it about walking tour books that keeps writing them?
That's a good question. It's I love getting down and really getting my feet on the ground and seeing this history. And I guess I also think spatially, I think. And for me, it's a really neat way to see a town is to be able to walk around and not just read a chronological history of what happened there, but to really see the structure, see where history happened. I mean, it almost makes you feel like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
And for me, I really enjoy that. And it may not be the same for everyone, but that's sort of how I enjoy history. So it sort of sucked me in, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, because on one level, the book is about buildings and places, but really it's not. It's about people and what people did in these places.
Sure, the neat little stories and, as you said, the little trivia that goes with these is really what makes it interesting. The sort of architectural nuts and bolts would certainly be interesting to an architect. But, you know, I think for me, what happened in those places and that this is – you know, where some person did some amazing thing or some gunfight took place or something is always really just kind of neat to learn that there's more than just the bricks and mortar of these places.
In the book, you talk about you couldn't possibly cover all of East Tennessee. How did you pick the locations that you decided to do?
Honestly, there's some we knew of. You know, there are places, you know, even places like Athens. We knew Athens would be in there. It's a decent-sized city with a lot of neat history. Jonesboro is the oldest town in Tennessee. So we knew some of those. And then beyond that, to be honest, it was research and then in some cases just driving to certain towns. And I can remember times when we'd have three or four different places in an area and we'd just visit them all and think, okay, what would be an interesting walking tour and then what really just has one or two sites and not much more. And we tried to do a little section of the book that were called like Further Afield that covered some of those little places that have some history but maybe not enough for a walking tour like a Madisonville or a Sweetwater. Or, you know, places like that and hopefully, you know, didn't leave out too much.
Yeah. Well, in one of the further afield ones, you do Dayton. And I believe you said something about Dayton. A boy named Sue is somehow connected to Dayton.
And I believe as I'm sitting here thinking about it right now, I believe it was the judge or it was Sue Hicks, who I guess was one of the lawyers or the judge. I'm blanking on his exact role in the trial, was said to be the inspiration for the song A Boy Named Sue. And so he was involved, of course, in the Scopes trial. And that's, you know, just one of those neat little pieces of trivia. And Dayton was one of those great places, as I said, that, you know, few towns are more known for one single thing than Dayton is. And so, you know, a lot of the tour of Dayton really revolves around the Scopes trial.
And you talk about in Athens, I hadn't heard this before, and I thought this was just amazingly interesting, the Battle of Athens. And normally when we talk about battles in this area, we mean civil war, but this was in 1946. What happened in the Battle of Athens?
Well, you know, this was there's a great book by Steve Byram about the Battle of Athens, and it's a really neat episode that most people don't know about. And this was veterans returning from World War II, and they were running into that political machine that had always existed in the county and sort of dictated how politics would be run. And these were men who felt they had just fought for freedom and weren't going to come back and be dictated to. And it actually, in a nutshell, boiled up into an election day gunfight and that involved dynamite as well and people being barricaded in the town jail and was a true battle to gain control of the county. And ultimately, the political machine fell as a result of this. So it was yet another patriotic victory for freedom in East Tennessee.
It's just amazing that something that – I mean people who might still be alive who were involved in that.
Oh, absolutely there were because this was 1946. So certainly there are people who would remember this and potentially some of the people who were involved in it.
And there's so many interesting tidbits in the book itself. I mean how did you cut it down? I'm sure you had a lot of material you just couldn't fit in.
Oh, sure. I mean, there are always – and there are probably some things, as we say, you know, we probably missed some things. And there are probably some things that, you know, you can't cover every spot in East Tennessee. Again, we tried to hit the great cities, and in each city tried to be as thorough as possible. And then there are some places where you had to say, well, that's not all that significant. Let's make sure we make it fit. But for the most part, we just said – let's chock it full of information and see how long it turns out to be.
And this is your second book. The first one about Chattanooga came out in, I believe, 2002.
It did.
Do you find people often just read the book? They don't actually even go on a walking tour. They just pick it up so they can sit there and randomly read trivia about these places.
Yeah, to be brutally honest with you, I keep my eyes open when I'm like crossing Veterans Bridge or around downtown to see, you know, hey, do I ever see anybody with that book? And most people have said to me, I really like your book. I keep it in my bathroom. And so, you know, that's just great. I don't care where they read it, but I'm glad, you know, people – it is a great book. You don't have to get out and walk around looking at this book. It can be just, you know, it can be something you can just read. And that's what I've done with it myself, to be honest.
Stillhouse Hollow Press published this book. They published your first book as well. Where can readers find the book?
The books are available. I mean, there are a few places in town that carry them. I think right now, and I'm certainly can carry it anywhere that's interested in carrying it, but the Convention and Visitors Bureau downtown carries it. The Hunter Museum tends to carry them. And then beyond that, one of the easier things is Amazon.com has them. And so that's another great place to get them. And then we'll come and go with other places that will carry them for a while and then not. So, those places are great places to look forward if you're interested.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about?
No, I just think, you know, we live in such a neat historic area where really you can walk around and are in the middle of everything from the Cherokee removal to the Civil War to the TVA to urban renaissance to the Dynamo of Dixie. It's a great place to live, lots of history, and I would encourage people just to get down and get familiar with our history because this is a unique, wonderful place to live.
Well, we're almost out of time, but one final question. I hadn't heard this before and thought this was really interesting. You, in the introduction of the book, talk about how East Tennessee is really different from Middle Tennessee and West Tennessee to the point where we almost seceded from Tennessee a while back.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it is actually not just, you know, people think of the three regions, West, Middle, and East Tennessee, and it actually is legally codified in our state that there are three separate units. And at one point, on the eve of the Civil War, there was talk, as West Virginia seceded from Virginia, there was talk of East Tennessee seceding from Tennessee and staying in the Union as a Unionist state because, you know, we were not a very pro-Confederate region.
Right.
We were very divided, but on the whole, East Tennessee was a very Unionist area. And so there was a period of time when we almost seceded, and it could happen again.
Well, you've got two books out now. What's next?
Well, right now I'm working on a history of the Jimmy Hoffa trial here in Chattanooga.
Oh, wow.
And you know, Hoffa was tried here for jury tampering in 1964, and that'll be 50 years next year. And so I'm working on a detailed history of that tour and a couple of other things as well. So, you know, a lot to keep busy with and just, you know, some more exciting stories about, you know, Chattanooga and East Tennessee.
Well, Maury Nicely, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
That was a conversation with local author, attorney, and history buff Maury Nicely about his guidebook, East Tennessee Walking Tour and Historic Guide. I am Michael Edward Miller, and you're listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga.